Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we continue now on the NSA story with a legal analysis of the actions of Edward Snowden, the former contractor who leaked classified documents to the Washington Post and the Guardian. One thing you can Google today that you couldn't 2 days ago, Snowden plus Ellsberg plus Manning. Lots and lots of comparisons between Edward Snowden, WikiLeaks source Bradley Manning, and famed Pentagon Papers photocopier Daniel Ellsberg. Time.com legal columnist Adam Cohen, who also lectures at Yale, has done the compare and contrast. He has a piece up now called Edward Snowden, a modern-day Daniel Ellsberg, except for one key difference. Let's find out what that one key difference is. Adam Cohen, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here, Brian.
Is it the difference between a leaker and a whistleblower?
Yeah, it may be. You could put it that way. One key difference is that we knew that there were things the government was doing wrong during the Pentagon era, reflected in the Pentagon Papers. There's a big debate as to whether the government is doing anything wrong in the NSA spying situation. And if they are breaking the law, that would lend support to Snowden's defenders. But if everything they're doing is right, if it's been endorsed by a court, as the government says, well, then maybe he's just a leaker and not a whistleblower.
But that might be a false choice between everything the government doing being legal and things the government is doing being wrong. Some of them may be legal because Congress has passed this sweeping Patriot Act and Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, but it still may be wrong as in terms of, you know, as in an ethical overreach into the public square in the judgment of many Americans.
That's correct. And here we get into all kinds of nomenclature. What do we think of as a whistleblower? But some might say that a whistleblower is someone who's really revealing legal improprieties. You might say that someone who reveals something that's morally wrong is maybe a conscientious objector. They're saying, I just don't agree with the law as it is. But it might make a difference if what the NSA is doing is illegal, or if it's just something that Snowden and maybe a bunch of other people think isn't the way the law should be.
So if it's determined that Snowden was revealing activity that was within the law, even if many people find it highly objectionable, does that blow any claim he has to a whistleblower defense in court?
Well, the sad thing for Snowden is that whistleblower protections are so weak that whether he was just acting out of conscience or whether he was really pointing out that the program was illegal, he doesn't have a lot of whistleblower protection. We don't have strong federal laws on that. There's a reason that we don't know where Snowden is now, that he appears to be perhaps fleeing. He said all along that he knows he will be in trouble. He doesn't see a lot of legal protection for what he did, no matter what the legal status is of the surveillance program.
Here's a clip of Snowden talking to The Guardian in that video interview about his motivations.
I'm no different from anybody else. I don't have special skills. I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office, watches what's happening, and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong.
So that's Snowden. And here is Daniel Ellsberg talking about Snowden on CNN 2 days ago.
If I had known that the NSA, the National Security Agency, as I say, to which I had access, if I had known that they were spying on every American multiple times, different phone lines, bank data, credit cards, GPS, everything else. If I had known that, I would have done just what he's done. I would have broken that law as civil disobedience.
So there we have a clip of Snowden saying I'm no different from anybody else, and Ellsberg saying Snowden is no different from me. So, Adam, if Daniel Ellsberg says Snowden's the same as he is, why shouldn't we believe him?
Well, maybe we should, but we also need to think about the status of Daniel Ellsberg. Now he's widely regarded as a hero, as someone who stood up to the Vietnam War and who told us things we needed to know. At the time, he was not so regarded. He was, in fact, prosecuted. Serious federal charges, faced 115 years in prison. The only reason he perhaps was not convicted was that the government had engaged in so much misconduct in prosecuting him that the charges eventually were dropped and fell apart. But he was regarded, certainly by the government, government back in the Vietnam era as a criminal who had broken the law, the same way they are currently regarding Snowden.
How about a comparison with Bradley Manning, who we don't know what Snowden is going to be charged with, but it certainly couldn't be any worse than Manning, not just leaking information, but aiding and abetting the enemy. Do you think the government would try to make that same case against Snowden and try to put him away for life, too?
Well, they might well, because as they see it, the NSA surveillance regime is incredibly important to our war on terrorism. And we've already seen the defenders of the program come out. Dianne Feinstein has spoken about how the program, as she sees it, was critical to thwarting, among other things, a subway bombing plot here in New York City in 2009. So they would see what he did as betraying the country in its war on terror. One key difference, though, between Snowden and Manning, and this is something Snowden has spoken about in his interviews with The Guardian, is he says that he was incredibly careful about the documents that he leaked. He didn't just do a mass WikiLeaks-type leak. He selected documents that reflected what he wanted to show, which is that this NSA spying was much more widespread than the public believes, that to his mind it wasn't proper. But he carefully culled out, he says, things that could have been injurious to individuals or to the United States government. So he would say he was no Manning-like, you know, mass leaker. But the government might not, you know, focus on that point, that fine point.
And I was reading about Manning this morning and noticed this from one of his early instant messages that he sent to Adrian Lamo, the hacker who he contacted about leaking, who turned him in. Here's what Manning wrote. If you had unprecedented access to classified networks 14 hours a day, 7 days a week for 8+ months, what would you do? So I'll ask the question, how secret is a secret if a low-level staffer has so much access, whether it's Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden, and does that have any legal implications?
Well, it's a great policy question, and people are definitely asking it. They started asking it after the Manning leaks. People were saying, you know, if these State Department cables were so sensitive and could lead to the downfall of regimes and the death of innocent people, why were they being kept on a computer system that so many hundreds of thousands of people, low-level people like Manning, he was no important guy in the Army, could read? So there were calls on the government to, you know, if you want your secrets kept, keep them better. And here also, the same thing. I mean, Snowden was not a big deal in the defense industry. At a very low level, he was able to get information that when he leaked it, the government suddenly saying it's a huge threat to our entire war on terror. So I think we are going to see an incident like this lead to calls for various kinds of reform. On the secret side, we're already hearing that the government needs to classify its information better, let fewer people see it, and only people that it feels really good about, maybe not this guy who seems like, you know, he arrives with a GED and suddenly gets a $200,000 a year contracting job. And then we saw it with Manning as well, calls for the government to keep those documents more secret. Now, on the critics of Snowden's side, we're also hearing people saying the lesson of this is that we need to know more about the government spying. So today, a group of senators, bipartisan group, has introduced a bill to open up the FISA court rulings so the public can know what Snowden was trying to let us know, which is, well, what kind of spying is going on?
And to that point, here's another clip of Ellsberg on CNN where he kind of proposes a novel defense for Snowden that we wouldn't know if it works until we know just how legal the NSA surveillance has been.
Can it really be criminal to reveal secrets of unconstitutional activity? Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that this violates the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution and probably other member parts of the Bill of Rights and should have been exposed. Can it really be a crime to expose crime? Or that's never been judged by any court, including the Supreme Court.
So, Adam, Ellsberg actually suggests a scenario there where Snowden could be convicted of being a leaker of classified information under the law as it exists, but that sometime down the road, that law could be deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. How would that change its legal status?
Well, I mean, it's a good argument, and I think it might change our view, our moral view of what Snowden did. If it turns out that the government is just brazenly violating the Fourth Amendment and other things, he might seem more heroic to us. As a legal matter, though, you have to remember, you know, Rosa Parks was arrested for sitting in the wrong part of the bus. You know, those civil rights protesters who sat down at the Woolworth counter were arrested. Civil disobedience in general does not lead to charges being dropped. It leads to a lot of sympathy, and there can be discretion. And some people are already saying if this program was illegal, the Obama administration should not prosecute Snowden, or they should do it very leniently. But that isn't, you know, a legal defense now. I mean, maybe Ellsberg would like the Supreme Court to hold it to be. But in general, people who civilly disobey tend to go to jail.
Well, he certainly got a group of supporters out there. A petition on the White House website yesterday calling for a pardon of Snowden has about 45,000 signatures. They're asking for a preemptive pardon before he's even arrested or charged. There was a rally in support of him here in New York yesterday. So that is all starting to take shape on one side of the question, and probably a long, complicated road beginning for Edward Snowden right now. There are some of the legal possibilities. Time.com legal columnist Adam Cohen, who also lectures at Yale and has a piece up now called Edward Snowden, a modern-day Daniel Ellsberg, except for one key difference, the difference between a leaker and a whistleblower. Thanks a lot for coming on.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll start doing candidate interviews in the special election to fill Frank Lautenberg's Senate seat. First up, Democratic Congressman Frank Pallone. Stay with us.